This week on Talkin' Central Arizona Sports, the economic impact of the world's oldest rodeo. Hello, everyone. My name is Torrance Dunham, and welcome to a weekly podcast catching you up on the latest with Central Arizona sports teams. Part of Talking Glass Media's Cast 11 podcast network, the show for the rest of the month puts a spotlight on the world's oldest rodeo leading up to the big competition. This week, the show touches on the economic impact the world's oldest rodeo has on Prescott, and joining the show to talk about that is board president of the world's oldest rodeo, Ron Owsley. Ron, how are you?
Just terrific. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So what is it about the world's oldest rodeo that has made it Prescott's signature event for such a long time?
Well, it started in 1888. This is where rodeo was born. A lot of the rules that are still employed today in the PRCA around the country, they first were invented here, so we're pretty famous. The Prescott buckle is one of the most coveted in the rodeo world. We're very geographically difficult to get to during the best time of the year, when there's dozens and dozens of rodeos going on north and west of here. And so it's a pretty big commitment to come down here, come to this rodeo. But we've always attracted the best cowboys in the world. Last year we had 697 cowboys and cowgirls here competing, and so the spectators, and I think the state and the county and the city have always been real supportive of that. We're excited for another year of exactly that same thing.
So the rodeo is not only big for people here locally in Prescott and the Quad City areas, but it draws from across the state and even the country, right?
And even around the world, we have people. We have people from other countries come that just want to see the world's oldest rodeo.
So with that in mind, what kind of impact does the rodeo have on the city and surrounding areas economically?
Well, the city and the county tax revenues alone last year generated $2.9 million. The activity, economic activity for the whole state, region, and then trickling down to the county and the city, totals just over $37 million. And, besides the rodeo attendance holds about 30,000 people over the 8 performances in the 7 days. But we have a lot of, we had 62 events last year, so there was over 90,000 people that attended the rodeo grounds here in different events throughout the year.
So are you expecting that same amount this year?
We are, every bit of that.
And how are ticket sales going?
We're sold out. First time we've ever sold out before the rodeo even started.
Awesome.
So, yeah, all 8 performances are sold out. The people that want to come now that don't have a ticket, their best bet, if they don't have a friend, they can come for an hour and a half early, stand in line, and hope to get one of the about 150 standing room only tickets that we'll sell.
So why do you think that it sold so quickly this year?
I think that we've just become so popular, and people every year it's been building. Last year that was the first year we sold out all 8 performances. So I think people that have been getting locked out or getting locked out of the best tickets. I mean, we opened up the ticket sales in the middle of December, and we had $50,000 worth of sales by Christmas. Tickets in at an average of $32 a piece, I think, at the time. So I think there's a whole lot of demand that way, and then just. It's just getting bigger. And the state's growing, the county's growing, the city's growing. Yavapai County's I've got a much bigger population now than I had just a few years ago. So that alone would, you know, help generate a lot more ticket sales. But it's become so popular. With a lot more Californians coming now, and a lot of people that are in the process of going to move here. If they've been shopping for a house or, you know, looking to retire here, they get caught up in the buzz and they come back and go to the rodeo, even if they haven't moved here yet.
So the lesson is to get the tickets as soon as they come on sale if you want to make sure you got a seat for the World Rodeo.
Yeah, especially if you're looking for, you know, some of the better seats. Because, you know, we have a record number of sponsors this year, the most we've ever had. And the sponsors get a lot of tickets, and they get the box seats. And so, yeah, there's already several hundred of the best seats that are gone. So, you know, if you really have a favorite section to sit in or want to make sure you get really good seats, I mean, buying in December, January, and February is really what you need to do.
So, final question for you here. What are you looking forward to with this year's rodeo personally?
No, I think that we have some of the best additional entertainment besides having another 700 cowboys and cowgirls coming back. We had four pretty exciting things going on. One, the theme of our rodeo this year is the bullfighter, and the parade has dubbed it the Dances with Bulls. So our bullfighter that's going to be the grand marshal of the rodeo. This is his 20th year of working the rodeo and fighting the bulls and protecting the cowboys. And he's got a new partner this year. And Seth. And so I think that between the two of them, that'll be very entertaining. But then we have the one-armed bandit is our main act and specialty act. And so John Payne, he's the most amazing animal trainer in the world. He brought zebras in the past. He's brought buffaloes. I mean, he has some amazing horses. So that's incredibly entertaining. If anybody's seen it, they'll, you know, they can't wait to get here. And if they've never seen it, they'll be truly amazed. And then we also have the Broken Spoke Clydesdales coming back. And that's always a crowd favorite. So, and then really one of the most entertaining things, which is not a PRCA event, but right before all eight performances of the rodeo, we're going to have mutton busting with the kids. We just added that last year for the first time ever at the world's oldest rodeo. It's wildly successful and popular, and the kids are 4 to 7 years old. And it's the only event, only rough stock event you're allowed to hang on with both hands as the kids trying to ride a sheep across the arena. So it's extremely entertaining, and we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing that as well. Ron, thanks for joining the show, and looking forward to the rodeo starting here in a couple weeks.
Well, thank you guys so much for inviting us on.
Wrangler Wrap and my thoughts on the start of the Suns offseason are next. But first, summer officially arrives next week, and we all know summer goes by in a flash. So make sure you are ready when fall gets here, because it'll be here before you know it. Give Yavapai Plumbing and Heating a call to make sure everything is looking good and you are ready when the temps begin to dip again. All the info you need is at ypeinc.com. That's ypeinc.com. Welcome back to Talkin' Central Arizona Sports. It's time for Wrangler Wrap, recapping the previous game for Northern Arizona's own Indoor Football League team and looking ahead to what's coming up this week. The Wranglers, after three consecutive losses, were back in the win column last week, beating the San Diego Strikeforce 38-36 on the road. NAZ began the fourth quarter with a rushing touchdown from Garrett Kettle to increase their lead to 10, but San Diego would strike back with a 31-yard touchdown through the air to put it closer at 31-28. The Wranglers responded again with another touchdown as Kettle connected with Jared Rare Jr. for a 25-yard touchdown to put the lead back up to 10. San Diego decreased the NAZ lead back to 2 with another touchdown with 4 minutes remaining, but that would be it as the Wranglers' defense held to get them back in the win column. At 6-5 overall and in fourth place in the Western Conference, the Wranglers are back home Saturday for a game against the Frisco Fighters at 6:05 p.m. at the Findlay Toyota Center in Prescott Valley. The Wranglers will actually play three of their final four at home to end the regular season, with their sole road game in Phoenix against the Rattlers. As I do every week, I'll end the show by giving my thoughts on some state sports. The Denver Nuggets were officially crowned champions of the NBA this week, beginning what will be one of the most, if not the most, important off-seasons in Phoenix Suns history. Who will be left from a team that once again did not meet expectations as the favorite to at least come out of the Western Conference? I can give you two names. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. They will be back. As for the rest, the Suns have significant payroll hurdles to jump over with expensive contracts for Chris Paul, Booker, Durant, and DeAndre Ayton. We've already seen rumblings the Suns may release Paul to get some relief and trade Ayton. Trading Ayton will be much harder, as I believe each side really should be done with each other after what happened in the playoffs. However, what team would take on that contract? Give the Suns needed value back in return. The offseason will require pinpoint precision to build the depth needed while surrounding Booker and Durant with pieces that will put them in position for a championship, all while dealing with those payroll problems. We'll see if James Jones and the front office are up to the task. I'm Torrence Dunham, and this has been Talkin' Central Arizona Sports, part of Talking Glass Media's Cast 11 Podcast Network. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next week as rodeo coverage continues.